The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Ibrahim Kwati.
In the headlines, summit of ECOWAS heads of state and government opens in Accra today. MTTD charges public to adhere strictly to traffic diversions to avoid undue delays and traffic holdups during the summit. Remains of American citizens suspected of carrying Ebola virus to be flown back to the U.S. ICU says reintroduction of 17.5% VAT on banks will erode purchasing power of workers. And Argentina face Germany on Sunday for grand finale of World Cup after beating Holland 4-2 on penalties. Test of summary with Ibrahim Kwati.
ECOWAS heads of state and government will meet in Accra today for the mid-year review summit of the sub-region. The meeting is expected to focus on the security situation in troubled spots, Ebola disease and issues of common interest to the leaders. Meanwhile, the Director General of the MTTD, ACP Awuni, has asked the public to strictly adhere to traffic diversions to avoid undue delay and unnecessary traffic holdups. The body of the American expatriate at the center of the Ebola virus care will be flown to the United States after it has been released to the American embassy. The four nurses were quarantined after they had come into contact with an American before his death, have also been discharged from hospital. The Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU Ghana, has asked government not to reintroduce the 17.5% VAT charges imposed on core and non-core banking services. A statement jointly signed by the chairman and general secretary said when the tax is reintroduced, it will erode the purchasing power of workers who are already paying income and other indirect taxes. And Argentina will face Germany at the grand finale of the World Cup on Sunday after eliminating the Netherlands. They won by 4-2 on penalties yesterday. Meanwhile, host nation Brazil played the Netherlands on Saturday for the third position.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. Some ECOWAS heads of state and government have arrived in Accra for the mid-year review summit of the sub-regional body, which begins today. Presidents Mahamadou Issoufou of Niger, Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta of Mali, Guinea-Bissau Cherifou Namajo, Alassane Ouattara of Côte d'Ivoire, Goodluck Jonathan of Nigeria, Dr. Yayi Boni of Benin, Macky Sall of Senegal, Blaise Campari of Burkina Faso, and Liberia's Ellen Johnson Sirleaf have all arrived. Presidents Yahya Jammeh of The Gambia and Faure Gnassingbé of Togo will arrive today. Vice President Kwesi Emesa-Afa welcomed the heads of state who arrived last night.
Meanwhile, President Goodluck Jonathan has expressed optimism about the outcome of the two-day ECOWAS summit, which officially opens today. He told Radio Ghana that the leaders will take far-reaching decisions for the benefit of the sub-region.
Well, brother, it's going to be a good meeting because we know we have challenges within the continent, within the sub-region. But then when we meet, we take decisions. And this meeting in Accra is going to be a fruitful meeting. And we believe we'll take decisions that will help the sub-region.
That was Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan.
And the deadly Ebola disease will feature prominently in deliberations at the 45th Ordinary Session of ECOWAS, which takes place in Accra today. Other issues like the EPA, Abidjan-Lagos-Accra Highway Project, Northern Mali and Guinea-Bissau will also be tabled. Presidential spokesperson Ben Doche Malo mentioned these at a news briefing at the Flagstaff House ahead of the summit. Meanwhile, the Director General of the MTTD, ACP Awuni, has called for total cooperation from the public to ensure a hitch-free summit. He suggested that motorists park their private cars and join public transport to avoid undue traffic holdups and delays. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
About 15 heads of state are expected in Accra for the 45th Ordinary Session of ECOWAS. Special invitations have been extended to Chad, Mauritania and Cameroon to participate. The United Nations and African Union will also be represented at a high level. A number of pressing issues in the sub-region, including the current Ebola outbreak in Sierra Leone, Liberia and Guinea, will engage the leaders' attention. Instability in northern Mali and Guinea-Bissau, where democratic rule has been restored following successful presidential and parliamentary elections, will also be on the table. Ben Doche Malo is presidential spokesperson.
The security situation is to be discussed under the report of the 32nd session of the Mediation and Security Council. Guinea-Bissau in our West African sub-region had gone through cycles of instability. President Mahama, in his capacity as the chair of ECOWAS, took the trouble to go to Guinea-Bissau just before the elections, the first round of the polls were held. Another issue that would be of concern to people is the request to have the Ebola outbreak in the three member states of ECOWAS also put on the agenda of the heads of state who are expected to be here.
Even though Boko Haram attacks on northern Nigeria featured prominently in last month's extraordinary session of ECOWAS in Accra, it is likely to again come up for discussion as the whereabouts of the 200 abducted schoolgirls is still not known. The meeting will start with a welcome address by host president and ECOWAS chair, President John Mahama, after which the president of the ECOWAS Commission, Cadre Desiree Odrago, will give an interim report on activities of the community, achievements for the first half of the year, and what needs to be done. The leaders will then move into a closed-door session that will scrutinize reports of the previous session and other businesses. The summit will end with the signing of community acts and decisions, reading of final communique, and a press conference.
That's Kalina Dadevo with that report.
The West African Health Organization says it is closely working with member countries and other stakeholders to ensure that the Ebola virus does not spread. In a message, the Director General of the organization, Xavier Crespin, said that although research is being conducted on the virus, it is a wake-up call for member countries to implement high strategies to ensure that contagious diseases that affect the productivity of citizens are eliminated. He was speaking in Accra at the Joint West African Health Organization Day. Mr. Crespin asked governments of member countries to allocate 15% of their national budget to the health sector, as stated in the 1991 Abuja Declaration, a report by Dorian Ampofu and Rebecca Boateng.
Dr. Xavier Crespin said the organization's priority should be geared towards solving the major challenges facing health delivery in the sub-region by charting the right path as prevails in developed countries. He called on member countries to put their energies to fight the spread of the Ebola disease. He was represented by the Deputy Director of Administration, Ministry of Health, Ahmed Mohamed.
Over 400 people have died out of this disease, and WHO is very, very concerned, working closely, gathering all the information and working closely with all member countries to ensure that they contain this dangerous disease. Specifically, we put up structures. So we have liaison officers and we have technical team which is being headed by the health sector within that country to ensure that they contain such disease. If WHO had not quickly acted, perhaps this disease would have killed a large number of people.
The Deputy Minister of Health, Dr. Alfred Sugritia, said the ministry will soon come out with the full details of the report on the suspected Ebola case at an Accra private hospital. He promised that the ministry will do everything possible to attain the 15% budgetary allocation.
There is the need for us to train more qualified medical personnel to extend quality healthcare services, as well as allocating more annual budgetary funds and other sources of funds to the health sector in all the West African countries to be able to achieve our common objectives. We must all work towards making sure that all West African countries allocate up to 50% of all budgetary funds to the health sector as stipulated by the ECOWAS Commission.
The West African Health Organization Day is marked every year and is meant to pay tribute to the vision of ECOWAS heads of state and government with the aim of attaining the best possible standard in healthcare delivery.
A report by Doreen Ampofu and Rebecca Boateng.
Meanwhile, health officials in West Africa say 25 more people have died from Ebola since July the 3rd, bringing the total number of deaths to 518. The World Health Organization said 50 new cases of the deadly disease have also been reported. A WHO spokesman said health workers are struggling to contain the outbreak in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea.
Still on Ebola, the body of the American expatriate at the Center of the Ebola Virus Care is to be flown back to the United States of America. The expatriate is said to have traveled to one of the infected countries in the sub-region, died on Monday, July 7th. The body is to be released to the American Embassy in Accra, in Ghana. Meanwhile, the four nurses who were quarantined after they had come into contact with an American before his death have also been released. The results of four tests conducted on the expatriate proved that the patient did not suffer from Ebola fever, although he presented symptoms of hemorrhagic fever.
The first day of the biometric registration of subscribers of the National Health Insurance Authority, ATEPA, in the Ahafo Ano North District of Ashanti, witnessed a lot of residents trooping to the registration center to have their data captured. The initial slow network connection, which nearly thwarted the registration process, was however resolved to allow the process to continue successfully. As at 1 p.m. yesterday, when our correspondent was leaving the registration center at ATEPA, about 21 out of their projected 50 applicants for the day had been successfully registered and issued with their permanent NHIS membership card, with many others still in the long queue waiting for their turns to register. Here's correspondent Akosia Frema Boateng's report.
The Ahafo Ano North District Scheme Manager, Abubari Hussein, explained that the biometric registration of NHIS subscribers is meant to, among other objectives, help the authority to build an authentic subscriber database, reduce malfeasance in claims by accredited service providers, as well as serve as an interim national identification. Mr. Hussein said the biometric registration will also help the NHIA to do away with the delay in the issuance of membership cards to subscribers after registration. The district scheme manager assured the people that the registration will provide a credible backup to readily provide lost membership cards in case anyone loses the ID. Mr. Hussein asked the people not to rush to the registration centers, saying once the exercise has taken off, it will continue and even provide mobile registration services later as an alternative to office registration. The Omaine of Tepa Traditional Area, Nanaeduse Akrinewa Ampim, challenged government to either extend the capitation program of the NHIS to other regions when it is successful in the Ashanti region, or scrap it entirely if it proves unsuccessful. Nana Akrinewa Ampim commended the NHIA for the biometric registration, which according to him is stress-free, and urged residents to patronize it. The NHIA has selected four administrative districts. These are Ahafo North and South, Ekuman Wabieja and Ekuman Punua District, and Asokwa in Kumase, to start the first phase of its biometric registration of subscribers in the Ashanti region. The Ahafo North District Chief Executive David Amakwadai said government is still committed to providing accessible and quality health care to the people. Five more districts have been earmarked to join the exercise from next week.
And that was a report from Akosia Frempong in the Ashanti region.
GPGO Ghana, an international NGO in collaboration with the U.S. Department for Defense, has presented strategic information materials worth 100,000 Ghana cedis to the Ghana Armed Forces. The items are to help strengthen and improve HIV and AIDS services at all major health facilities in the Ghana Armed Forces. Presenting the materials, the country director of GPGO Ghana, Chantel Allen, commended the 37 military hospital for its efforts in improving HIV and AIDS care and treatment services. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Summit of ECOWAS heads of state and governmental teams in Accra today. MTTD charges public to adhere strictly to traffic diversions to avoid undue delays and traffic holdup during this summit. Remains of American citizens suspected of carrying Ebola virus to be flown back to the U.S. ICU says reintroduction of 17.5% VAT on banks will erode purchasing power of workers. And Argentina faced Germany on Sunday for grand finale of World Cup after beating Holland 4-2 on penalties. We are back after the break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. Government has asked Ghanaians to ignore rumors of cement shortage, which has caused panic buying at exorbitant prices. President John Mahama gave the caution at a salt cutting for work to start on a 60 million euro cement production factory in Tema. Is that government's investigations have shown that the commodity is being produced in excess, and the rumor is mere connivance by cement producers and retailers. President Mahama charged cement producing firms to invest in full integrated processing plants to produce cement in the country. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
The 60 million euro cement plants upon completion will add up to the already existing four, Gassam, Savannah, Dangote and Diamond cement plants. The project is being undertaken by Sinaf Ghana Limited, a Moroccan company which seeks to invest hugely in Ghana. The cement plants will be ready in 18 months and will provide about 1,000 direct and indirect employment to local Ghanaian workers. Apart from investment in the cement plant, the company has also signed an MOU with government for the construction of a 10,000 social housing unit over a 7-year period. President Mahama reiterated government's vision to promote public-private partnerships. He said the construction sector plays a critical role in the growth of any developing economy. He said the establishment of the plant in Tema goes to complement government's strategic plan to restore Tema to its glory as an industrial hub. President Mahama called for private partnerships in this regard.
Ghana continues to be the most attractive investment destination in West Africa. And even though we are experiencing some economic challenges, these are absolutely temporary, and we will create the kind of environment that will be conducive for investors to continue to have faith in putting their money here in Ghana.
President Mahama also spoke on the recent price hikes on cement. He said it is unacceptable for people to buy cement for more than 33 Ghana cedis, describing the price hikes as connivance between some producers and retailers. Government is coming up with a fair trade policy to deal decisively with such culprits.
My hope that this increase in supply of cement will help to stabilize the price of the product. Because of increasing demand, it might be that the price of cement is abnormally high. We noted also recently that rumor that spread in the social media about the pending shortage of cement must probably have resulted in some panic buying of the product, which is escalating the price on the market. Our investigation showed that all the cement factories are working normally and the supply of products is normal. And so there shouldn't be panic in terms of buying cement and hoarding it.
The chairman of Simav Ghana Limited, Anna Sefroy, said the plant, when completed, has the capacity to produce 1 million tons of cement every year. This will cushion the social housing program with quality cement at controlled price.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
The Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, has tagged the Ghana Standards Authority to take immediate steps to improve its testing and certification to help address the problems of port congestion. This is said will speed up clearance of goods at the ports. According to him, if the authority resolves these problems to help improve business transactions and promote economic growth. Mr. Idrisu said this when he inaugurated a board for the authority. Priscilla Appiah and Eric Agboke have more.
Mr. Idrisu said the inauguration of the new board has come at the time that government has decided to replace the existing standards bill with a more comprehensive one that will redefine the proper role and mandate of both the Ghana Standards Authority and the Food and Drugs Authority, since the safety of what is consumed in the country rests solely on their collective responsibility. Mr. Idrisu was emphatic about concerns raised on Ghana's export sanitary conditions. He, however, urged the new board to take pragmatic measures to ensure that whatever is exported into the country meets the minimum sanitation conditions of their respective countries.
Concerns are being raised about Ghana's ability in terms of our export products, particularly to the EU and to the US market. I would urge the board to take particular interest that whatever is exported out of this country without fear or favor meets the minimum phytosanitary conditions and the minimum standard conditions of the respective import country. We also would say that for the domestic economy, you must safeguard and ensure that minimal standards are held by all those producers.
The executive director of the board, Dr. George Benquenso, said the board is critical about its tests on food to avoid adverse effects on the health of the consuming public. He said the board will continue with what the old board built on and also come up with innovations to propel progress.
at the moment, we are doing our best. Unfortunately, that sometimes when we have goods at the port, it takes some time. But rule by rule, that when things do come, we have to test and make sure they are of good quality. Because if you take things like drugs, if the body brings drugs which are not of good quality, then definitely it's going to affect the public health issues. So sometimes we take time to test these things. And one of the greatest challenges that we have is the equipment that we use. They are very, very expensive, and it's not easy to come by it, save money.
The five-member board included Ms. Victoria Addy, Professor George Clue, Hayford Kofi Nimo, Godwin Adagiewinne, and Mabel Apalu.
Priscilla Pierre Erica Bookes reports.
The Ghana National Education Campaign Coalition has asked Ghanaians to stop making mockery of the government scholarship package, which includes provision of sanitary towels. It says the energy and passion being wasted on the issue should be turned to constructive efforts at ensuring that the youth in all the beneficiary districts get access to quality education. The chairman of the coalition, Bright Apia, at a news conference in Accra, so the Secondary Education Improvement Project is in line with the constitutional mandate of making secondary education accessible to all. Naomi Kome and Akosia Dankwa have more.
In terms of allocation of resources, the Secondary Education Improvement Project has allocated $140 million to support the components of the project. Of this, a total of $125 million has been earmarked to provide scholarships to students from low-income families, especially girls. The chairman of NEC, Bright Apia, explained that civil society organizations will monitor the project and the distribution of funds to ensure its success.
We looked at the whole project and then we realized that the project is going to benefit and serve communities. And there are certain programs that have been introduced that give scholarship to children, building new facilities for secondary education, and also expanding some of the secondary education that are self-community so that they can make room for people who have qualified to have access to education. And clearly, the scholarship team is going to support them very well. And then also, there are some social intervention programs that are also being introduced in the program, which we think that we need to support it. So what we are calling for is that we need to keep an eagle eye on that particular project to ensure that government invests the money in places that will support the well-being of children, especially the girl child. All school buildings must have a very good sanitary conditions in them so that you create places for girls and then you create places for boys so that they will feel comfortable when they want to change themselves and all that. So the campaign is still ongoing. We want to ensure that some of all these things are in place so that when we introduce a policy of this nature, we'll still create the environment for it to be very comfortable for children to change themselves.
Mr. Apia called on all and sundry to be committed to ensuring that government and its duty bearers are held accountable.
Naomi Kome reporting.
The Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU Ghana, has called on government not to reintroduce the 17.5% VAT charges imposed on core and non-core banking services. In a letter copied to the Minister of Finance, the ICU said the law should be abrogated and not reintroduced. It quoted informed sources as saying there's nothing in the banking system called non-core activities. The letter, jointly signed by its chairman Emmanuel Boateng and General Secretary Solomon Kote, said proponents of the law did not make scientific assessment about the impact on the people and the economy. The ICU said when the tax is reintroduced, it would erode the purchasing power of workers who are already paying income and other indirect taxes.
The Ghana Federation of the Disabled is calling for the institution of proper structures to facilitate the disbursement of the 2% of the District Assembly's common fund allocated to it. It says until effective and efficient measures are put in place, the aim of the fund will be a mirage. This came to light at a stakeholders' policy dialogue on the District Assembly's common fund in Accra. A report by Rita Nyako.
The meeting focused on making the 2% of the District Assembly's common fund work for persons with disabilities. The chairman of the GFD, Yao Debra, said the introduction of the 2% of the DACF for persons with disabilities in 2007 was a major relief to PWDs who were not able to access the fund previously. This has led to the increase in PWD's access to the fund. Mr. Debra, however, added that authorities have failed to give clear outlines to the disbursement of the allocation of the fund. This unclear directive has led to the misappropriation of the fund by the district assemblies.
Mr. Debra bemoaned the authorities' inability to monitor how the funds are disbursed as unfortunate.
The government is not helping. The reason is that we all know that the District Assembly Common Fund has not been flowing to the districts. But the government, according to our records, have released the funds up to the third quarter of the year 2013. The assemblies have had their share for the third quarter of 2013. MPs have had their share, except persons with disability. And while I inquired from the Common Fund Administrator, all that he told me was that the Ministry of Finance has not been able to raise our share of the Common Fund. Surprising. 2% of what goes into the districts, it has not been raised. The issue is that it's 2% of what goes to the districts and municipalities. Why have they received, and where is our 2%?
The director in charge of statistics and information management at the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development, Dorothy Oni, said government attaches great importance to the Disability Act and the ministry will remain committed to its implementation. To this end, government will continue to implement policies and programs that are geared towards improving the lives of Ghanaians, especially the poor and vulnerable.
Rita Nyako reporting.
Four ministerial nominees yesterday appeared before the Appointments Committee of Parliament to answer questions relating to the ministry they have been appointed to head. The nominees are the Minister Designate for Lands and Natural Resources, Neil Samuels, the Upper East Regional Minister Designate, James Zuga Tiga, Central Regional Nominee, Aquinas Kwanzaa, and the Eastern Regional Minister Designate, Andre Bosia Konsechere.
The Executive Director of the Salt and Light Ministries, Dr. Joy Zayi, says there is the need for radical discipleship in the country to ensure rapid development. Speaking to Radio Ghana ahead of a seminar to train ministers and anyone yearning to take up the cross of responsibility, Dr. Ayi said the time has come for the ruler and the root to work together amicably to develop Ghana. She spoke to George Ankra.
We are interested in this particularly because this is the commission that Jesus himself, who is the reason for our salvation, has given us. He says that we should make disciples of all nations, which means that we should win them and then we should train them to be solidly and firmly rooted in Christ so that their lives will be transformed and they would be the kinds of citizens who bring the kingdom of God right down here on earth, as we recite in the Lord's Prayer. So Salt and Light focuses on the training side, the discipling side, and we do programs that will help people build on their faith through the use of the scriptures. And on 19th of July, it's a Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. at the Sun Lodge Hotel, we're going to have one of such programs. And the theme is radical discipleship.
Why radical discipleship? For some time now, we have observed that majority of these men of God, pastors in particular, are no longer interested in discipleship.
Which is unfortunate.
We are only preaching salvation and
prosperity. They're not even preaching salvation.
Prosperity.
Yes. You see, the thing is, God wants us to become like Christ himself. That is why he sent him as a human being, so that through the life he lived, we will know that we can become like that. And so ours is to imitate Christ. And it's radical. It doesn't mean that you won't smile, you won't wear good clothes, you won't drive in good cars, but your heart's attitude is that of giving glory to God.
That was the Executive Director of Salt and Light Ministries, Dr. Joyce Ayi.
On the foreign front, Argentina will meet Germany in Sunday's World Cup final at Maracana after winning a penalty shootout to eliminate the Netherlands.
Nigeria has been suspended from all international football by FIFA amid allegations of government interference in its football federation. The ban means no Nigerian team, including club sides, can play internationally. FIFA had given Nigeria's government until last Tuesday to reinstate the sacked Nigeria Football Federation Executive Committee. The Nigerian Football Federation was dissolved last week and replaced by sole administrator.
And UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says the situation in Gaza is on a knife edge, urging Israel and Palestinian militants to end hostilities. And now to end the news, a look at some of the stories that made the headlines. ECOWAS heads of state and government will be meeting in Accra today for the media review summit of the sub-region. The body of the American expatriate at the center of the Ebola virus care will be flown to the United States after it is released to the American embassy. And Argentina will be facing Germany for the grand finale of the World Cup on Sunday after it eliminated the Netherlands by 4-2 on penalty shootout yesterday. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwarten
and Lily Defoe in Accra.